Whether one was slogging through the sucking, pulling muck that seemed to want only to swallow one whole, or due to the fact that it was all but impossible to ever get completely dry after doing so, it felt as though there is no escaping the marsh. Lyrisson could not help but think that feeling was amplified when you were trying to escape actual pursuers. It seemed as though the wetland were yet another pursuer, he thought, yanking the long braid that he wore down his back, free from the entangling briars he and Aroa were trying to move quickly and quietly along. The swamp was dark, no matter the phase of the moon above. It was always like this in the Varan Marsh, as though the lights of the sky knew the marshland's fell reputation and avoided contact with it. That darkness was another pursuer, as his foot found an unseen pit, where the flow of water had worn away the mud at a tangle of briar roots. He stumbled with a curse, and his face found a thick, woody patch of tangled, thorny branches. "Are you all right?" Iroa was at his side immediately, helping him up and pulling him away from the grasping branches that plucked at his hair, scratched his face, tore at his robe. Before he could answer, though, they heard it. It was a terrible roar that shook the darkness around them, reverberating through the claustrophobic terrain and seeming to come at them from all sides. It was a roar both animalistic and vengeful, the roar of a predator denied its prey, a roar that only a thinking beast driven to fury could make. "Keep running, keep running," Iroa whispered, planting one hand against Lyrisson's back. It was her shield hand, some alarmed part of his brain noted, even though he knew she'd lost the shield just a short while before. She was renowned for her skill with that shield, and its loss made the situation seem even more dire.
"We could go faster if I could light the way,"
Lyrisson replied quietly, glancing back at her. She shouldered into him, and her hand against the flat of his back clenched, grasping a fistful of his tunic with it. In the darkness, he could barely make out her silhouette, that distinctive tousle of dark red hair and her compact, athletic form. "That would give them a damned beacon to find us by," she said. She tried to summon anger into her voice, but it choked beneath everything else there. The exhaustion, the pain, the fear.
I know," he muttered, and reached behind to take her hand.
She squeezed his hand hard, but also reassuringly. "Nothing is going to happen to you while I can prevent it," it said, and he shoved aside his own exhaustion to keep up the pace as they started moving again. The two crested a rise that revealed the river below. "Stay low till we're over it," Iroa hissed, though he was already crouching. Beside the river sat a half dozen small buildings, home to fishers and trappers. It was too small to even call a hamlet, though this part of the river was good and deep, and they'd built a simple wooden dock that jutted out into the water. Though the night sky lent its pinpoints of illumination to the center of the river, the night and the surrounding willows and mangroves cut off all light at the edges. In this shadow, tied to the docks, was a sleek sailing vessel, slung low in the waters. It would never see the open ocean, intended as it was to stay within sight of the coasts. It was small, with a single deck above a hold. The sails were dyed a dark color, and they were hoisted but loose. No lights burned aboard. It was a smuggler's vessel, and it waited for them. They were halfway down the far side of the hill when Iroa stumbled. With a bitten-off curse, she sprawled forward a short distance, knocking Lyrisson to one knee as she fell into him. He reached for Iroa, grasping for her to help her back up. "We're almost there." He glanced back behind them, finding the black of the rise silhouetted against the indigo darkness of the midnight sky. Nothing moved along that line. Yet.
"Are you all right? We have to keep moving."